This podcast produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. For more than 20 years, helping Americans plan their retirement years with confidence. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Invest Talk. It is April 6th, the Thursday edition, and I appreciate you being with me. Above average investing for the average investor. And you'll have to forgive my voice. It's a little scratchy. I did a lot of talking yesterday. And it's still recovering. But that's life. As investors, your number one priority is to avoid taking more risk than you have to. Protecting your money is very important. Just as important as growing the money, especially as you're approaching retirement, becomes more important. Protecting your money. We all want to grow it. We all definitely want to do that. But we also need to protect it. So you got to be very careful. Sometimes the best advice is really simple. Really, really simple. Warren Buffett says, risk comes from not knowing what you're doing. Might be simple advice, but it's extremely difficult to implement. Okay, because what happens is you think you know what you're doing. I do. You think you know what you're doing, but maybe you don't. You don't know what you don't know. And that's a very difficult thing to understand, to appreciate. Maybe I just don't know everything, but I think I do. The danger of millennial investors is emotional. They're entering the decision-making process right now as far as putting the money away. They're old enough where they're starting to build 401ks and IRA accounts now. And they need to know certain things that maybe because they're young, they haven't come across yet. Us old guys have been through the wars, and we understand a lot more of the risk than they do. Think about it. They grew up with companies like Tesla and Netflix and thinking that all these companies, the stock market, you can make just quadruple 10 times your money. It's so easy. Well, I tell you this, not that easy. So it's going to be one of our talking points today. One of the ways we can hedge against making bad moves, by the way, with our money is to be watchful and learn to interpret the market and the economy. In my recent market commentary on investtalk.com, I write market commentaries usually 2 to 3 times a week. I wrote about the newly released income report, which showed a nice gain of 0.4%. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, consumers only spent 0.1% of that 0.4% income gain. Now, the unfortunate part is for the economy. The economy grows based on what the consumer spends. The fortunate part is, hey, the consumers are saving more money. That's good for them. And long term, it's probably good for the society as a whole. So it's good and bad. So, by the way, and the increase also pushed up the core inflation rate to 0.2%, which is nothing, that's not that big of a number, but the PCE inflation gauge, which is what the Federal Reserve watches, moved to 2.1% annually, which is 0.1% higher than the long-term target the Fed has set. The Fed set 2% as the target, 2.1. Now, that's not out of the ordinary high or anything, but it certainly gives the Fed more cover to keep increasing rates. I'm going to talk about a little bit more about that later on in the show. So expect rates to increase. That's pretty much built in, I think. You know, frankly, we want just the moderation and so far. We want inflation. We want it, but we don't want a lot of it. And so far, that's what we're getting. So I think it's important that we keep the eye on the ball. We don't want deflation. We want inflation. Inflation is a lot easier to fight. It's a battle that we are very comfortable fighting. Deflation is something the Japanese have been fighting since 1989, 1990, and has been pretty much a losing battle. Up until the recently year or two, they finally have turned things around, looks like, but they never know. Okay, let's get to the Best Talk listeners. I'm sure you're tired of hearing me talk. 888-99-CHARGE, how to reach us. You can call right now. It's a 24-hour listener line.
Hi, this is Charlie from Seattle. I currently have a company 401k and a Roth IRA. I'm 55, and I'm doing kind of the catch-up thing. I started investing late, and in my Roth, my money's just sitting there. I really don't know what to invest in. I heard you say it's not good to go into individual stocks, so I was wondering what a good investment would be, an ETF or a mutual fund or something like that. Like I said, I have this with Vanguard, so I'm limited on what I can do. Anyway, I'd appreciate any information you can give me. Thank you.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. I didn't say it's not good to have individual stocks. It's not good to have individual stocks in a small account where you can't get proper diversification. So if your Roth is not very big, yeah, you want to stay away from individual stocks. Now, if you're at Vanguard and you're going to stay at Vanguard, they have some very good ETS, low-cost ETS, exchange-traded funds, and you probably would serve yourself well by buying some index funds. I might be cautious, maybe do a dollar cost averaging approach because the S&P is kind of high and it'll probably pull back. Don't be panicky about that pullback, but you might want to just do a dollar cost average into it, meaning just put so much in every couple weeks or once a month, then next month put more, the next month put more. Always do the same amount. But this way, and be consistent about it no matter what the market does. You actually want to buy when the market's down. So if it goes down, you just keep buying. You want it to go down in the short term so you can, get the gain when it finally does turn around. Remember, markets always do turn back up. You just got to be patient. It'll happen. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Millennials need to know about funds and retirement. That's one of our talking points today. Also, job reports out tomorrow. What should we be looking for? Have you noticed the mortgage rates have been down 3 weeks in a row? The 30-year fixed mortgage. Why would the mortgage rate go down when the Fed is raising rates? Fed raised rates twice, once in December, once just recently, and yet the mortgage interest rate is going down. This is what confuses so many people. They can't figure out what the market's doing. It doesn't make sense. Well, let me see if I can make some sense for you out of that. Sometime today, one of our talking points. And finally, the Fed is worried about the stock market. Should we worry that they're worried? Should we be concerned? Should we be, I'm going to tell you no, but we'll explore that a little bit too. 888-99-CHART, the market was up today. Up. It was kind of interesting yesterday. Big up day during the day. I think the Dow was up about 200 points during the day, but then ended up the day down. And that was interesting. Today, the market was up 15 for the Dow, up 14 for the NASDAQ, up 5 for the S&P, and it was down during the day. It was pretty flat most of the day. It wasn't much excitement going on. Yesterday was a bit more volatile, a lot more volatile than today. So the market is still just kind of there. If you look at a chart of the S&P 500, And you'll see from March 1st till now, it's just been slowly leaking down. Okay? It's just slow, nothing exciting, but slowly leaking down. It had this period like from August to November, slowly leaking down. And then when the election came, it started back up. So we'll see what the market, it's kind of boring right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Let's borrow some wisdom from Peter Lynch. Do you know who Peter Lynch is? Quote, if you're prepared to invest in a company, then you ought to be able to explain why in simple language that a fifth grader could understand and cook enough so the fifth grader won't be bored. If you're going to invest in, you got to explain the company in those terms. If you can't, then maybe you should get away and not buy it. Can we help you hone your analytical skills? 888-99-CHART is our live listener line every weekday, 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Mick in Hayward. How you doing, Mick?
Yeah, hi, Steve. Thank you for my call.
Thank you.
Appreciate your business.
Thank you.
What do you think about LULU? I'm thinking about buying a few because like 52-week low, I don't know what you think about it.
This is a Lululemon Athletica. operates and franchises 363 athletic apparel stores in North America, Australia, and New Zealand. And these are those elastic workout clothes that women just love, okay?
Right.
And the company had, you know, did very, very well initially, and now it's just not doing as well. It's still growing. Don't get me wrong. It's still growing. And it's a pretty good company. It might be a little bit on the high side, but maybe it deserves that. Mm-hmm. It's a $50.78 stock. They're going to make $2.63 next year. This year they're going to make $2.36, and it's a 23 PE. But the five-year PE has never been below 19, so it has always had a high PE. And the return on equity is 25%, which is very, very good. And sales are growing in the low teens, 12, 13, 14, 7, 15, somewhere in that range. So so it's from a fundamental point of view, it looks like a decent company, okay, that you might want to own. The problem is it dropped down. Did you see that where it dropped from 63 down to 50 in just one day?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so what was that about? Was that earnings? Was that sales? Something happened there. I don't know what it happened, but it's not telling me. That would be the news of that. You need to look at that news and determine if that's just a one-time thing and it's not really going to affect their business that much. But that drop worries me. I want to know why it dropped. Okay. If it's the sales going down and the CEO says it looks like we're having weaker sales going forward, I would not buy it. Just stay away from it.
Okay.
But if it's a one-time thing, like, they got sued by somebody and that scared investors, I don't think I'd worry about something like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Meg.
No,
I do not. I'm sorry. I have to go to another one. Let's go to James in Dublin. How you doing, James?
Hi, Stu. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just Under Armour, is this a good time to buy? It came down from its 52-week high, like 46. Now it's around 19.
Well, the thing I like about Under Armour, it looks like it's putting in a base, James. It's been trading sideways now since February. So you got February, all of March, and here we're perfect, and it looks like it's ready to go higher. It does look like that. Yeah. Under Armour, another clothing company, everybody I'm sure knows who Under Armour is. Very popular, athletic wear and footwear. So they're growing their sales. The most recent quarter by 12%. Quarter before that was 22%. That was the only concern. Is the most recent quarter they only grew 12%. The other quarters before that they're growing 20% and 30% a quarter for 2 years. Then this most recent quarter was 12. Now if they can turn that around, man, this is a good price to buy this stock. If they can turn it around.
Okay, great.
Okay. Appreciate the call.
Yep.
They're just a little expensive, but high growth companies are expensive. Just have to If you just have to deal with it. That's just the way it is. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. 888-99-TURS, how you can reach me right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time. Love to hear from you. Give us a call, 888-992-4278. 888-99-CHART, 4 things millennials should know about when it comes to investing and retirement funds and those kinds of things. And, these are the kind of things we talk about often here on the show, but it's a constant reminder. And one of the things for millennials, they need to think about their time frame. They have lots of time, but they kind of get started. The more time you have, the less you have to put away now. Even though it would be smart to put more away up front, but still, you have time. Don't wait till you're in your 40s and 50s, to start. And a lot of baby boomers did that. Waited. Some still are waiting, and they don't have any money. I've gone through statistics with you. You know that the statistics are not good for how much money people put away. You millennials need to start early. Who knows what Social Security will look like when you retire? So start early and always always have in your mind to take care of yourself. Don't rely on the government to take care of you. Don't do that. And when you are, you know, investing, make good tax efficient plans, like open up an IRA and a 401k where you don't have to pay taxes, a Roth 401k, a Roth IRA where you don't have to pay taxes when you start taking it out. You know, think about those things. Don't just put money in an account and let it grow that way. Try to build up your tax efficient investments. Make sure you're not overpaying. Okay, make sure of that for the services that you're getting. Don't be dazzled by short-term performance, thinking, oh, wow, look how great the market's done recently. Oh, man, I should make 20% a year. Let me figure how many years over the years. No, that's not normal. Look at normal. And most people can't even achieve normal. Just letting you know, what's normal? 8, 9, 10% a year in the market, in the stock market. That includes dividends. And most people cannot achieve that. So don't expect 15, 20% a year. It's not going to happen. You may get it every so often. You may get better than that every so often. But those are the unusual years. Don't be impressed. Oh, I'm going to buy these high-flying growth stocks. I can make a lot more money. No, not happening. What happens is you lose a lot of money, and then you get fed up with the market, and you leave it. That's what happens. People lose money. They think that you can't make money in the market, and they get out and stay out. And then they lose all kinds of opportunities over the years. This is why I am telling you, always, always just be consistent. Be very diligent. Don't get overly excited. Don't get overly depressed. You'll do fine. Just stay with the numbers. Stay with it. Let's go to Jack in Chicago. How are you doing, Jack?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
I have a question about stop orders. Mm-hmm. We're fortunate enough to be a KPP customer, but we also have some other individual stocks in another account.
Okay.
And, with the current market climate, do you advise putting in stop orders for just about all your positions or just some? With the bigger, like I've got some Apple and some Verizon that I've had forever, great big companies, but also some perhaps smaller and riskier things. And what happens is, you put in a stop order, it goes down one day, and you get sold, and then it comes right back up 2 days later, and then what do you do?
Yeah, it's so true, Jack. Okay, first of all, determine in your portfolio that you have, what are your core holdings? Those core holdings, Apple and Verizon, for instance, don't worry about those. Okay, so don't worry about a stop orders for those. Yeah, they'll go down, then they'll come back, and over long term, you'll be fine. Then all the others, yes, you have stop orders. And try to remember, Jack, that all the professionals are looking at different parts at every stock and determine where the amateurs are going to get stopped out at. And they put a buy orders right underneath that. It's because they're playing you, okay? They're playing you. So just be aware of it. You can't stop it. Just be aware of it. But do put stops on your more speculative type stocks. And since the market is overvalued, you definitely want to put stops in at some levels so that you don't get killed. One of the things you want to do, Jack, is never lose a lot of money,
Sure.
That's an old Warren Buffett saying. Remember the Warren Buffett saying? He said, what's the first rule?
Oh, sure.
Don't lose money. The second rule is watch the first rule or something like that.
Would you put stops on some of your big gainers?
Yes.
More aggressively than you would on stuff that you're in the red on?
No, not necessarily. You put your stops in where it makes sense, like if it breaks a trend line or breaks a support support number. And Jack, if you send me an email with the stocks that you're talking about, I'll tell you where I put the stops in. You just send it to me. You give me the symbols. Okay? Dave's on the line from Cupertino. Hold on. You're next.
Our podcast continues next, but first, a couple of words for KPP Financial. Anticipating trends, changing economic climates, while they're still developing. That's essential to successful money management. Do you sense a trend change coming that might require adjustment to your investing strategy? Well, KPP Financial believes that conditions are right for a course correction, cycling from growth to value. To respond to changing times and changing personal profiles, KPP offers 5 individual investment programs to match up with various life situations, including those invested in their employer's 401k program. To find out more about these programs, when you're ready, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Investments tab. Now let's get back to the podcast.
888-99-CHART. Of course, we're going to go talk to Dave in Cupertino. How you doing, Dave?
Very good, Steve. We're getting ready for a little more rain out here. We've had enough for the year, but we'll take it. We'll take whatever we can get.
Heck yeah.
So my question, since the election results last fall, there's been a 3-month bump up. Mm-hmm. Brought a lot of people into the market again, shoving stocks up into their 52-week highs.
Yes.
And then I've noticed that they've been retreating back a little bit. And you look at some of the fundamentals in there, and they're not really that good, but it's like people are just buying on speculation. And basically my question is, how does one go about determining if it's a bullish 52-week sign or a bearish 52-week sign? And do you use moving averages or fundamentals or combination, and what should an investor look for?
If you have the possibility of looking at new 52-week highs and new 52-week lows, if you know where to find that,
go ahead.
That would help you a lot as trying to figure out where the momentum is going and when.
Oh, I see.
And what you're looking for, Dave, is a change in the momentum. Right now, the momentum is on the upside.
Right, right.
For instance, on up volume, you had up volume, up on volume 54 stocks, down on volume 73 stocks today.
Oh. Okay.
So you're looking for, now that should be, if it's really bullish, it should be just the opposite. Up on volume should be more, way more than down. You see, mm-hmm. So you're looking for that internal movement of a trend change. And it looks like market is having a harder time pushing up to me.
Yeah, it certainly appears that way to me also. So there's probably different sites that you can find that information out on.
Yeah, there's different sites. I buy it, I pay for it, but I don't know where you can get it for free, but I know it's out there, and that's the kinds of things mm-hmm. that you want to look for: new 52-week highs versus new 52-week lows, and look for a trend change. That's really what you want.
But what about doesn't fundamental thing to this, how the company's bottom line is doing, et cetera?
Yes, fundamentals playing
into its momentum also, or is it just speculative momentum?
No, fundamentals do not play with momentum. Momentum and fundamentals are separate. But you as an investor, you as a smarter than the average investor, you're watching the fundamentals and you're saying, well, my fundamentals are pretty good, but the price of the stock is not justifying those fundamentals. So now you're in a momentum market, and momentum can change quickly.
Right.
Thus, Dave, the previous caller, when he's saying, should I put in stops? Yes, you should put in stops.
Yeah. Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, thank you very much for the answer.
Very good question.
Appreciate your show.
Very good question. Thank you, David. Yeah, so and you know what, everybody? No one knows for sure. There's no crystal ball. These are only hints. You look for a variety of hints to tell you, it's difficult. For instance, here's a hint. the Fed's meeting, the Fed meeting we just had, the minutes were released, and the Fed is worried about the stock market. Minutes from the meeting said that mentioned that the high PE and other metrics show extended prices. Quote from Yellen, quote, forward PE ratios for equities have increased to a level well above their median of the past three decades. There's a hint that the Fed thinks the market is overpriced. Now, don't get too excited. That's just a hint. That's just one thing. You're trying to build a map here of what's going on in the market. The map, for instance, from a Fed point of view, Greenspan said the market was irrationally exuberant 2 years before the dot-com crash happened. In those 2 years, the market more than doubled. So, you know, you look at what the Fed's saying and they agree with it because it's true. And I've been telling you for some time the market's overvalued. But they don't just take that and say, well, now I'm going to get out. That's just it. I'm done. But you can start taking precautions. For instance, if you take a profit on a stock that you think, you know, it's gotten way out of whack of your portfolio, take profits, don't be in a rush to reinvest that money. It's okay to have some cash. And like the previous caller wanted to put stops on. That's okay. Put some stops on some of your more speculative stocks. Stops. S-T-O-P-S. Stops. Meaning when they come down, they'll automatically sell. You've got to be careful where you put those stops, but it's okay to do that. So the Federal Reserve is saying they think the market's overvalued. Okay, I've been saying that for a while. Oh, I agree. Uh-huh. Now what? Should you react to it? No. You should just put that in your mind, saying there's one more little nail in the coffin that the market is overvalued. But what happens if Trump gets his big tax decrease through? That's going to be very bullish for the market. What happens if he gets that big spending program through? That'd be bullish for the market too. So, you know, you got the yin and the yang. What's in it for insiders? Become an InvestTalk insider and find out. It's free. One thing, you get webinars. You'll have access to a whole library of webinars that you can play anytime you want. It's free. Did I say that right? It's free. I said it three times now. Never a charge for any of the useful content that's there. And there are a whole new look now with lots of financial news and information from respected brand name sources refreshed continuously all the time. You get new stuff. Sign up. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
Managing multiple mutual funds, researching professional services, where to put your savings. If it's about money and if it's important to you, we want to know more about it. We're here for you. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve or Justin right now on InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Dan in San Diego. How you doing, Dan?
Pretty good, Steve. I wanted to ask you about gold. Mm-hmm. Last 2 weeks or so, it's been bouncing off its 200-day average.
Yes, it has.
It's hit it four times, and each time on the pullback, it's less and less of a pullback, so it looks like it's showing strength. Mm-hmm. What's that telling you? Anything?
I think you're looking at it correctly. At the end of the year, gold fell sharply from when the election happened till the end of the year. It was already weakening back in August. But when Trump won, the gold kind of fell hard. And then ever since the beginning of the year, it started to move back up. And then it hit the 200-day moving average in, late February? Bounced down. Hit it again in late March. And it's been, as you pointed out, bumping up against it for a couple of weeks. Just, you know, trying to break through and not succeeding so far. Until it breaks through, you can't say that, you can only say that it's not strong enough yet to break through. And that, you want to be careful. You don't want to be a buyer right here. You would rather be a buyer once it breaks through.
Okay.
So if you're thinking about getting into it, you wait. If you already have it, you're like me, which I already have it, and not, I have gold mining companies, and you say, well, I'm hoping that it breaks through. You know, I'm hoping on pins and needles here. I think it might. I think it might because the dollar is one of the reasons why it's having trouble breaking through is the dollar the last couple of weeks has been rising.
Yeah.
So before that, it was not as falling. So I think the dollar's doing the same thing. If the dollar fell and bounced up, and if it falls back and bounces of the 200-day moving average, if it rolls over and starts going down again, then gold will start moving up again. They're kind of tied right now. They're not always tied, Dan, but today they are, you know, in the last while. So watch the dollar, too. Keep your eye on that.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm holding on to my Hecla then.
Me too. I own it. We own that in our managed accounts. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
HL is a symbol on Hecla, by the way, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Jobs are out tomorrow. The official jobs report for the month of March comes out tomorrow. The expectation is for about 185,000 jobs. And just as a reminder, there's 235,000 in February and 238,000 in January. So the expectation is for a little less jobs. Now, ADP, which is the private sector jobs report, came out, was it yesterday, the day before, with 263,000 jobs. Remember, that's just private sector. The official report is private and public sector jobs. Okay, and where are these jobs coming from? Well, there's been a pretty good move up in manufacturing and energy. Oil prices getting a little higher and steady in the last while, and manufacturing look a little bit stronger. You know, President Trump has been pounding the table about bringing back manufacturing here, and just by the fact that he's pounding the table helps that sector. Now, unemployment rate. Okay, the unemployment rate is 4.7%, but the U6 number, which is U6 counts unemployment and those people who have part-time jobs that want full-time jobs. That's at 9.2. The long-term average before the recession was 8%. So still a little bit elevated. And the thing you want to look for in this jobs report, my personal opinion, is wages, increases, wages. Year over year, they've gone up 2.8%. You want to look for strong wages. You want that consumer to be spending. You want the consumer, we want a little bit of inflation, not deflation. So we, you know, keep an eye on the wages. And the average work week, you want that to increase, not decrease. So the wages is really what tells you if the job market is getting tight. That tells you, because if employers have to pay more and more money to keep their employees, because they want to, they increase wages to do that. Okay. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. The market was up today. Dow was up 15, NASDAQ up 14, and the S&P up 5. Not much movement, though. Pretty much flat. Let's get back to the 24-hour listener line. Anytime number, 888-99-CHART.
Hello. I recently purchased TPG Specialty Lending, stock ticker TSLX. It pays a decent dividend and has been performing pretty good for the last year. I was just wondering what you thought, if it was a good investment or not, or to buy more or sell, since it has gone up around $2. I bought it at like $18.68, and it's around $20.39 today. Okay, thank you.
It's $20.55 today, and that's what they're ending at. TPG Specialty Lending, business development company focused on lending to middle market companies across 20 different industries. So it's a lender. They're going to make $1.77 per share this year. That was a little bit less than they made last year. And then they're going to get a little bit more next year to $1.80. Okay. It has a fairly reasonable PE, but this stock has always had a pretty low PE range. So that, don't get fooled. $20 stock, we're going to make $1.80 next year. You're saying, well, gee, that's only about, what, 11, 12 PE? Well, The average for the 5 years is 7 to 15, so that's not cheap for this stock. Return on equity is pretty good at 12%, a little bit less than I am comfortable with. Sales growth has increased in the last two quarters. That's been helpful, 14, 15% per quarter. And it pays a 7.6% dividend. 7% of $20 is $1.40. Okay, so, and they're going to make $1.80. They're almost spending all their earnings on the dividend. Therefore, I feel uncomfortable saying I doubt they can maintain that dividend. Doubt it. It's only a $1.2 billion company. They can't make that kind of percent payout and pay all their earnings and that kind of dividend. It's just very difficult to do. I would not buy more. It's at a new 52-week high. It's been rising sharply for some time, all the way back to last June, and you don't chase it. You just ride the ride as long as you can. Don't be buying more. You don't know how high is high and how far up it's going to go. You just keep riding it, put a stop trailing it, and that's about it. That's all you can do. Okay? Let's see. Coming to terms with investing. Here's an investing term you should understand, and it's very important that you understand how it works when it comes to the marketplace. And the term is leverage. What's leverage? Here's a simple thing about leverage. Here's a way you can understand leverage and not be part of the stock market lexicon. When you buy a house, you put 20% down. You're leveraging that 20% down by borrowing 80%. You leveraged your small amount into more amount. Okay, so leverage is used in various financial instruments and is always borrowed money, such as margin. You know, we call it, you have a lot of margin. Remember we told you that there's a lot of margin in the market right now? That is leverage. You're listening to InvestTalk, everybody. I'm glad you're here. Don't save the question. We can still fit your question in. 888-99-CHARGE. 888-99-CHARGE. 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Mortgage rates have fallen 3 weeks in a row straight. 30-year mortgage rate is 4.1%. You should ask, why in the heck are mortgage rates going down when the Federal Reserve raised the rates in December and they raised the rates in March? What the heck? They've raised interest rates, the Fed funds rates, therefore, shouldn't all the other rates go up? No, not so. Not so. Remember what rates the Fed controls. It controls only the Fed's funds rate. All other interest rates out there are driven by supply and demand, by what the banks think they can charge and get away with, by competition. The Fed only influences the rates by raising the Fed funds rate. Okay, that, you know, and that makes usually all the other institutions are able to then raise their rates. But what if they don't believe that the Fed's going to raise as fast as much as everybody else thinks? Remember, the spread of 4.1% at a 30-year fix, and the Fed's funds rate is what, 1%? That's a huge spread still. Usually the spread is 2 to 3%. Here it is, you know, 2 to 3 percentage points. And this is 3 percentage points right now, a little over 3%, 4.1, 3.1%. 3 percentage points. So don't think that the rates will automatically, all the interest rates will automatically go up if the Fed raises rates. They just tend to go up. And, you know, it feels like or seems like the big banks are not necessarily buying into the Fed's going to raise the rates 3 times this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't. 2 times, I think that pretty much in a card, 2 more times this year. But 3 times, I'm not so sure about that. But we'll find out. Now, and it will all come down to economic numbers. If the GDP starts to increase in the next, you know, for the end of this quarter, our GDP numbers are pretty strong, and they look like they're getting stronger. Employment is getting stronger. all this and the Fed and the Trump presidency are able to pass their tax incentives and then pass their spending, that means the Fed's going to be raising rates. Definitely going to be raising rates. So it's always an interesting thing to watch. And, you know, it's another one of those things we all watch. And as part of the overall, well, what is that going to do to stock prices? What will higher interest rates do to stock prices? Generally, they put pressure on the stock prices downward. Generally. Not always, but generally they do. Your questions always come first and last. Let's take the last couple of minutes and answer a question. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Steve calling from San Francisco. I was looking at a stock, Sturm Ruger, ticker's RGR, and I was interested in picking this up. I was looking at the technicals, and it looks like it's right about at the support level, or sorry, resistance level, around 55, 58. And if it breaks through, I was planning on getting it. I was interested in hearing your thoughts. Love the show. Thanks for everything you guys do. Thanks. Bye.
This is on our word watch list, Sturm, Ruger & Company, and it did break through the long-term moving average today to 56.60, as he pointed out. They're going to make $3.96 this year and $4.65 next year. They're growing, you know, before the most recent quarter, they were growing, they only grew 6%. Before that, they were growing 20 and 30%. So they fell when their growth rate slowed from a high of $68 all the way down to $48, and now they're coming back. They pay a 3.1% dividend. P ratio is 12, and the range is 9 to 46. So I kind of like most of the things about this stock. It's one of the ones that, as I said, on our watch list. Okay? I like it. Let's look like, well, apparently we're done for the hour. I can hear the music. Time to say thank you and for being with us, and I'm going to have to say goodnight. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. You can reach me directly with a question or comment. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Contact Steve. Sorry, I'm unable to answer stock questions, but any other money matters, that's great. I'm having trouble keeping up with my stock questions, but I will get back to you. On behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, thanks for being with us. Let's plan on getting together tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.